Hi, you're listening to a podcast brought to you by the teaching team at New Life in North Lincolnshire. New Life is committed to helping transform people and transform places through the love and power of Jesus Christ. We hope you, in some small way, will be blessed and transformed by this message.
Good morning, everyone. So we are in a series at the moment called Church. We've been looking at what it is to be God's people and what it means to belong to a gathering of people that we call the church. So over the past couple of weeks, we've looked at different metaphors, different ideas in the New Testament or in the Bible that talk about what it is to be church. We've talked about body, and we've talked about the building being different parts but all connected. And together, we all bring what we have and we share that with others. Today, we're talking about brothers and sisters. What it means, and it's another kind of metaphor language that the Bible uses to describe what it is to be church. It deliberately uses family language of brothers and sisters. Now, when I knew that I was going to preach this, something came to my mind that I thought we really should do that. Okay, so we're all going to get involved this morning. Good. Is that all right? Yeah. Some of you are like, hang on a minute. So let me just tell you something so you know something about me. Whenever I run things, just in case for all the ones who are getting nervous now, like what are you going to make us do? When I run things, it's an icebreaker-free zone, okay? So if we ever do stuff together as church, there'll be no, hey, let's just go around the room and share a bit about ourselves, all right? So you can be safe from that. But we are all going to get involved, and we're really going to go for it this morning because we're going to learn a verse from the Bible in Hebrew. Okay, now, just so, you know, if this is your first time here, we don't do this all the time, but this was one of the first verses I learnt, and I thought, I've got to do it. And I talked to my friend Glenn, some of you will know Dr. Glenn Balfour, who's taught me, and I work with him now, and I said, I was thinking of doing this. He said, oh, it'd be rude not to. So here we go, all right? So we're going to learn a verse in Hebrew. So I'll show it you in a moment. Okay, so it didn't come up then, did it? It did it? Okay, well, shall we put it up on the screen? So this is what you're going to learn. Okay, I've got two friends over there, by the way. I don't want to embarrass them, but they know this stuff. They'll probably come to me after and your pronunciation wasn't quite right. Okay, so, Hine. Hine. Good. Martov. Martov. Hine Martov. Umanaim. Yeah, good. You've got to get a kind of, it's like Umanaim. It's like a little catch. Umanaim. Okay. Hinematav Umanaim. Shevet.
Shevet.
This is good. Let me see what we're reading. Achim.
Achim.
Oh, very good. Because you have to get it in the throat. Achim. All right. Achim. Gam. Yahad.
Yahad.
I didn't even get it right then. Okay, should we go from the top? Well, okay, let's just go through each one again. Hine.
Hine.
Martov.
Martov.
Umanaim.
Shevet.
Achim.
Achim.
Gam Yahad. Perfect. Give yourselves a round of applause. Hine Matov Umanaim Shevet Achim Gam Yahad. Do you want to know what it says? Of course you do. It better be good now, hasn't it? It's from the Bible, so it's all right, you know. Psalm 133, verse 1. How good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity or in harmony. So there you go. That is what you've just learned. Small group leaders, you'll be giving that in your small groups this week, okay? No, I'm only joking. Although if you want to, you can watch all this back. There's a little song as well, but I won't give you... Hine motovu manahim shevet achim gam yachad. There you go. That's the only time I'll be singing. All right. We learn these things by singing it. There you go. And some of you, if you've done the step-by-step, Glenn will love me for this, the step-by-step introduction to biblical Hebrew can be yours for £20. And yeah, so there you go. And never has he ever given a free book away. I can tell you that for a fact. And I don't think he'll be watching this, but there you go. So that's what we do. We learn. And yeah. So a little bit of Hebrew, Psalm 133, verse 1. How good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in harmony. When the Bible talks about brothers and sisters and being together and using that family language, we're talking about people being together in unity. And that's what I want us to be thinking about this morning. What it is to be God's people living together, united in faith. So we're going to have a little look at this psalm and then unpack it. So it says, it goes on to say, how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in harmony. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard. Okay, so if you're new to the Bible and thinking, what is all this language? Okay, so in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible, that's the language it was written in, hence why we've just said it. Oil was representative, symbolic of anointing. And when there were priests, they would be anointed. So Aaron, who was kind of the first, he was anointed with oil. So when people live in harmony, it's like that oil is flowing. There's this anointing that comes, this blessing that comes. So and it's not just a little bit of oil, but it's running down. Okay, we don't do this anymore. You'll be pleased to know. I know Dina a few weeks ago when she was commissioned got anointed with a bit of oil. We didn't pour it over you. So there you go. Maybe we should have. There you go. So it's yeah, exactly. And then it goes on, so it gives these images. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling. Dean, I knew she'd laugh. The dew of Mount Hermon, don't worry, sorry, it's a little in-joke, but Dina had this whole thing about Hermon and the monsters or something. Anyway, it's as if the dew of Mount Hermon, okay, were falling on Mount Zion. Stay with me, people. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. So two images. One, the anointing of the oil. And it's not just a little bit. It's an absolute overflowing. When people are in unity, there's a togetherness, and God brings blessing. And secondly, it's like dew. And again, in a dry land like the Middle East, where, you know, you have many dry months, does anyone remember or know what that might be like? Because we've just had rain. But of course, in hot countries, you don't have that. So dew becomes important. And on Mount Hermon, which is high and has snow on it and brings dew all year round, it becomes an important thing. So in the Old Testament, when you read through, you might get these references to, you know, things being like dew. And it speaks of this refreshing. So that's what happens when we're together in unity. It's like the oil of anointing is flowing and like that refreshing dew is released. And there, God commands a blessing. Now, look, I want to be careful because, you know, sometimes there's a lot of things that can be done and said in the name of unity, you know, and you know, well, God commands a blessing. It doesn't always mean that, like, you know, there's always complete agreement on everything. Like, we're very different. That's what we've been learning through the body and the building metaphors, is that we're all different. We're all wired differently. We have different things going on. But we are together in this and part of the people of God. And sometimes, you know, in the name of loyalty and things like that, harm can be done. But there is a truth in the Bible, in this Psalm 133, that there is a blessing that comes when people are in unity, that we are together in faith. So I want us to think on what this psalm means to us. And very simply, I just want to bring a few things out about why we're united, what we're united for, and how we can actually put that into practice. Okay? So why we're united, what we're united around or for, and how we can actually put this into practice. So the first thing, why be united? So like I've been saying, God brings blessing. And there's no, you know, that's a good enough reason, isn't it? For God to bring his blessing to us, that when we are united, God says, now I can do something. There's something that can work together. And it's a beautiful picture of things functioning together. Now, I don't know if you saw, sorry, little football illustration, but anyone watched the Chelsea match the other day? Chelsea players fighting over who was going to take the penalty. You know, that's not a picture of unity. You know, they were 4-5-0 up at the time, so you know why they were doing it. But there's something that happens when teams are playing together and work well together, you know, then things happen. And it's the same in the church, that when there's a togetherness and a unity, God can start to move in that place and bring a blessing. But there's some other benefits that come through that as well. And a few things that I was thinking about, like why unity helps us and why it's so important for us. First of all, growth. The Bible talks about, and you know, this idea of things being good in Genesis, you know, God made creation and it was good, but it was not good for man to be alone, so he made woman. And they were together. The whole body and the building imagery is we are connected to each other, and something powerful happens because we are not made to do life alone. We're not made to just like work our way through and kind of, you know, I'm living my faith for Jesus. No, we need each other. And when we are together, when we are united, we grow. We grow in our faith. And some of the image, the language that the Bible talks about when it talks about brothers and sisters is us growing together. That like we can learn from each other. It's not just yesterday I'm preaching, but actually we all have things that we can share and things that we can bring to one another that helps us to grow. And so when we are here in our small groups or whatever ministry that we're involved in, we can grow and we can learn from one another. Another thing is that there's protection. Because it's very difficult. And if you are a believer who's ever spent any time kind of disconnected from church, you might find that there's more struggle that comes in your faith, that it's harder. Because sometimes that is just a reality of life. We need one another so that we can bring protection and help one another, encourage one another. Like Dina's already been speaking about today, you might come in here and some people are feeling like, yes, I'm full of joy of the Lord. I know God's goodness is for me. But others might not feel the same way. But when we're together, we can get round those who are struggling, maybe those who are feeling a bit of pressure or a bit of pain, and say, we're going to support you in this. Yeah? That there's protection that comes, and we come on a Sunday and in other areas or other forums so that we can look out for one another, encourage someone. And it's an important thing because, you know, when we gather as church, the times that we're spending together isn't just the moments when we're singing. And it isn't just the moments when we're hearing the Bible read to us or, you know, someone's preaching. But the time before the service and the time after the service, do you know why? Because we can bless one another. And I know sometimes we've got things to get to and we need to maybe leave, but that time before the service and after the service, when we're having teas and coffees and chatting with one another, is an opportunity for us to encourage or get round someone and pray for them and bless them and help them, because it protects us so that we can keep going in our faith. We don't want people to feel that like, oh, I'm struggling, but I don't know who to talk to. Actually, there's people around and we can get alongside and help them. So there's protection and there's accountability. No one necessarily likes the idea of correction and challenge. But we also know that part of faith is that we have to be accountable to each other. That there's something where we learn to speak into one another's lives. Now, look, in a church this size, let me just, again, help us all out on a practical thing. We don't all share life in the same way with everyone. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ, but we have different levels of relationship. Now, there's a whole thing that I could get into and something that's helped me with this little clip from T.D. Jakes talking about the different types of people in your life. Not everyone will be a close confidant for you. There'll be a few of those people. So we're all together, but there'll be some people who you know, they can speak into my life. There's a leadership team here that can help us and nurture us in faith, because that's what we're here and called to do, to shepherd God's people into life. Not everyone has the same level of relationship, but we do need accountability to one another, where we can say, hey, I'm struggling with this, can you pray for me? Or I did this, can you help me? When we're dealing and struggling maybe with habits or patterns of behavior that we need to break free from, that there's people around us who can help us and pray for us. So growth, protection, accountability. But also it's a witness. In John 17, Jesus prays that we will be one so that the world knows that we are, who he is. They will see our oneness, our togetherness, and it's a witness to the world. Why do we need to be united? Because people will look at us and how we are with each other first and foremost. They'll look at how the church interacts and see that as a reflection of who Jesus is. And we want to reflect something of that to our world, that we say, we're here and we are together in this for the cause of Christ. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So why are we united? To help each other. Well, there's the blessing that flows through unity by being brothers and sisters, recognizing the strength that we bring together. But through that is growth, protection, accountability. But when we are united, we can go and make a difference for Jesus. We can go and show the world who he is. Where there's strife and disunity and problems, it causes problems for the witness of Christ in our world. So what are we united around? Well, a couple of things that I was thinking about with this. The first one is around vision and purpose. And that idea of a vision is an interesting one. Because, you know, like we can have, this is the vision, everyone's got to kind of line up. But there is a thing where this is who we are. These are the people that we belong to. We are part of New Life Church. And there are things that we do and ways that we are that make us united, yeah? I was, this year, Assemblies of God, the denomination that we belong to, is 100 years old. So we've got lots of celebrations. And there's been a lot of, as you can imagine, digging into the archives of things to kind of look at our history. I got sent these, got sent some versions of some copies of Redemption Tidings, which was like the magazine of the Assemblies of God when it started. So this was going back. And by the way, I love history. So for me, this is absolutely fascinating. I'm like, I just love this. I wasn't asked to do it, but I just loved doing it, looking at it. But these magazines go from 1924-25 to 1939. So I was looking through all of these. Fascinating seeing the history, reading about the history of Assemblies of God. But one of the things that it talked about in one of the editorials was about the fundamentals of Assemblies of God. We have 12 things that are kind of our statement of faith. And it was asking the question, it was like trying to address this issue of, well, are these things essential for salvation? You know, and are they fundamentals in that sense? And the person writing the editorial was saying, and I thought this was really interesting, they said, no, they're not like essential for salvation. We are Pentecostals. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in gifts of the Spirit. We believe in healing. We believe in baptism by full immersion, something that we'll be doing in a few weeks' time. But you can be a Christian without those things, but this is what unites us together as Assemblies of God. And it made me think about us as New Life Church. There are lots of different churches in our town, in our region, obviously in the country, and lots of different flavors of church, lots of different styles. And we're not here to say that one's better than another or anything like that, but there are things that make New Life what it is. And as part of that, we are united around the vision and the purpose that we have, that these are the things that we do. We do worship the way that we do it. We have our services the way that we have them. It's all part of who we are, and we want to be united around that vision and purpose. But most importantly, we're united for the cause of Christ. We're united in who Jesus is. It's not one person who comes to us and says, here's the vision. But actually together, it's Jesus who is the head of the church ultimately. And we are united around his vision, which as I was talking about on Easter Sunday, to make disciples. You know, we can talk about all the vision statements that churches have, absolutely fine. But there is one that we all share. Make disciples. Baptize them. Teach them. That's what we all do. Every church. And we need to be united around that ultimate purpose. That Jesus, through us, is making all things new. Reconciling things together. And he wants us to be a part of that. And that can happen when we are united together. So why be united? Protection, growth, accountability, to be a witness to our world. What are we united for? There could be lots of reasons. But we're united so that we can, around vision and purpose, and around the cause of Christ. And then the final thing that I want to touch on with unity. Let me find the verses. It's about how we can actually put that into practice. Like I say, we're all different. So preserving unity is not always easy, is it? Even within your own family. Like if you think we use this brothers and sisters language, and I don't know what your family is like, but sometimes even having harmony within a small group of you. Yeah? Or is it just us? Okay. Maybe it's just us, Dina. We better work some things out. Okay. But you might know, but in a family this big, there's going to be some issues, yeah? We would be naive to think that unity is just going to be simple and straightforward. But I do think there are principles in Scripture that help us. And just a few verses from Ephesians chapter 4. It's very interesting that after Paul has outlined this doctrinal section at the start of the letter, the first thing he talks about in the next chapter, obviously there weren't chapters when the letter was originally written, but it's about unity. So Ephesians 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Powerful. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So a few things there that Paul picks out to help us with unity. Be humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Can we do that? Can we be patient with one another? Can we bear with one another? Can we have love for one another? Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. See, I'm a big believer. I've shared this before, but it's one of those things that's like I'll keep saying it. We're Pentecostals. We believe in gifts of the Spirit. Absolutely. There is something powerful that happens when there's miracles and we see the faith and the healings and the powerful demonstrations of the Spirit of God. Absolutely, we need those things. But we also need the fruit of the Spirit. And we can all do that, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And those things should extend to each other first and foremost, don't you think? That in this room, where we should be showing love and some joy and some patience towards one another, it should happen here, shouldn't it? Within the church, that we can bear with one another. Do we all get along? Not all the time. Do we all agree? Not all the time. But can we be united even when there's disagreement? Yes, we can. Can we share together? Do we have different personalities? Of course we do. So you see things differently to me. I see things differently to you. That's the way it goes. But we can still be united in those things because that's what we've got to learn. Learning how to do life with one another. So we are family, and the fruit of the Spirit needs to flow. So there are a few things there of being patient and bearing with one another. But in the New Testament world, particularly, family was really important. So it's very interesting in terms of reading the New Testament that the language that is used most often is, you know, when Paul and others are addressing churches, is the language of brothers and sisters. Because what is being communicated is, you have your family. So in the New Testament world, like the ancient Greco-Roman world, there is your family unit. And that's where you're together. Everyone else were kind of viewed with a little bit of suspicion. But in the family unit, there's togetherness, and we look out for one another. So then the New Testament writers use that language and say, the church is like that. You're not blood relations, but you have a bond that's like brothers and sisters. Now, what's interesting about that language and understanding how that world operated is that in your family, there wasn't any sense of competition. Now, we might talk today, and I don't want to, you know, maybe we need some prayer after, but you might have brothers and sisters, and you might have sibling rivalry. Maybe we shouldn't ask for a show of hands on that. Or like you may have been compared, oh, if only you were more like someone, or more like this. But in the ancient world, that wasn't how life operated. You didn't compete with your own family. And in the church, it's the same kind of idea. We don't compete with one another. We bring what we have. This is what we've been learning about body language and building language. We bring what we have and we share it with each other. No one is greater than anyone else. No one is better than anyone else. Everything we have is given to us through God's goodness. And that's why Paul says in Romans 12, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought. We don't go, oh, I'm great. I know a little bit of Hebrew. Well, we all do now, don't we? But we bring our gift. We bring what we have. And we share that because it's a gift from God, ultimately. And so I don't keep as if, oh, yes, I'm so good. Oh, look what I can do. No, no, no. This is a gift from God, and I share it freely. I share that with others. I bring that as my gift to bring it to the church. So we don't compete with one another. And hey, we don't compare ourselves with one another. Comparison doesn't help you, and it doesn't help the person that you're comparing yourself to either. Do you know why? Because you don't know their journey. You don't know where they've come from and what things they've had to contend with or deal with to get to where they are. So there's no good looking at where they are. Oh, I wish I could be like that. Well, you don't know the journey they've been on. And release them from that pressure of them feeling like, oh, I've got to be something as well. No, no, no. We don't compete and we don't compare. We share what we have. It really is going to become a theme of New Life. We're all in this together. There you go. But a few things. So avoid comparison. A few things to finish with. Believe the best in each other. Bible talks about not gossiping and all that sort of thing. Believe the best. When we hear something, when we see something, believe the best in someone. We all have good days and bad days. And I know what I can be like on a bad day. That maybe when you see someone, you're like, oh, they were a bit sharp today, a bit prickly. Rather than thinking, well, I don't like him anymore. Actually, I'm going to believe the best in them. Maybe they've not had a great week, great day, or something like that, and I could help them, encourage them. We think the best. We appreciate the differences of one another. I know it's a very straightforward, obvious thing to say, but unity isn't uniformity. We are not all alike. We're different gifts and different personalities, and we learn to appreciate those things. And I think as God's people, as difficult as it can be at times, that forgiveness has to flow. That we can model forgiveness towards one another. Maybe when someone has upset us, we can model, I'm sorry. And in return, we can model, I forgive. Now, that's a journey. There's lots of things to unpack with all of that. But I think those are things that very practically we have to embrace as God's people to say, in this, to be united, it's not always going to be easy. There will be things that we maybe don't understand, we don't always see straight away, that we don't get, but actually, this is where we belong. This is our family. We're a body, we're a building, but we're also a family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we are united together, then God's blessing flows. And we can grow together, grow as God's people, and we can be a blessing to our community. Let's pray as we close. Father, we just submit ourselves to you in this moment. Because we recognize that everything we have is from you and is for you. And we pray as a church, for us as a church, that we will be united. Brothers and sisters, family together. Sharing life, sharing what we have. And we don't want to take it for granted. So we pray, Jesus, help us. Help us to be in unity with each other. Give us grace, compassion. Help us to bear with one another. And Jesus, as we are united in you, for you, we pray that through us, our world will see who you are. That Jesus, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That our witness to our community will not be hindered by disunity. But when they see how we are together, when we work as a team, we bring blessing to our world. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from New Life in North Lincolnshire. To find out more, do visit us online at newlifechurch.uk, or why not pay us a visit? We'd love to see you.